In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Boomer Esiason on a Patriots Monday, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com, by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, by Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And Boomer is brought to you by your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Hi, Boomer.
Hey, good morning. I know it's not as good as a Monday morning as last week, but again, another competitive game by the Patriots. And you know, here's the lesson we should all learn. If there are no turnovers in a game, an NFL game is going to be tight no matter who's playing.
Well, very close. I mean, the problem for me is going to be, and you're the expert, so I want your response, but can you rely on just running the football all season long if you're the New England Patriots?
You know, going into the season, I think we talked about this, just exactly what they were going to be on offense, and it was going to be anything exciting, that it was going to be plodding and it was going to be close to the vest. They don't really have that many playmakers. You want to talk about Hunter Henry having a career day, that's one thing. But, you know, when you look on the other side and you see Metcalf and Smith and Jigba, you see, you know, top tier talent at wide receiver. And the Patriots really haven't had that player since Randy Moss. So, you know, that's how far back that goes. And that's part of the Patriots' problem. But if I were Gerard Mayo and I had what I had, and this would be the way that I would have to play. The question is, when is Drake May going to hit the field? He's not going to hit it this week. Maybe after this week he hits it. I don't know, but they just don't really have any game-breaking playmakers right now on offense.
Well, Boomer, I mean, we can clearly see that we don't have the DK Metcalf, the established wide receiver. The problem that I think the issue might be is we don't know what we have at wide receiver, because, you know, we can't push the ball downfield. We can't hit some of those 15-yard dig routes because everything is checkdowns and tight ends in the flat. So I think that's the biggest question is, because of the limitations of the quarterback, we don't know what we have at wide receiver.
Yeah, that could be part of the problem. But, I mean, in all practical reality in the NFL, I still think the Patriots are doing the right thing by, you know, putting Jacoby Brissett out there. He's trying to play a very clean game. It's not pretty. It's not exciting. You know, if he were throwing three interceptions in a game, I would sit here and tell you they got to get him off the field and I got to put the rookie out there because, you know, this doesn't make any sense to me. But if he's going to play a conservative, careful game and not turn the ball over and give his team a chance to win late in the game, then I got to tell you, if I am the coach, I'm the coaching staff, I'm sitting there on the sideline, this is our best way to win, and they almost did it 2 weeks in a row. That's the reality of what's going on here. So, well, again, short week, and there's no way Drake May is in this game unless Jacoby gets hurt. But it's just the way that they're playing.
Yeah, Boomer, I was going to bring up the fact that you look around the league, you see Bo Nix, you see Caleb Williams. They have two interceptions in their both games this week. So if you're Gerard Mayo, you see Jacoby Brissett out there not making mistakes, having the ability to escape with an offensive line that seems to keep breaking down. So for you, even 2 weeks from now, if Jacoby keeps playing the way that he is, why would you take the risk of putting out Drake?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on what the situation is. If they lose this week to the Jets on a short week, then all of a sudden things may start to change. And internally they may start to change. And they may see more on the practice field from Drake May. And, You know, this is all valuable stuff for Drake right now. I know it's frustrating for fans not to see their top draft pick and to watch, you know, Caleb Williams last night or watch Bo Nix yesterday struggle in these games. It's frustrating for those fans too, because they're not winning their games. So again, there's just ways to handle quarterbacks a little bit differently. I always go back to the fact that Carson Palmer never played a game his rookie year for the Bengals and turned out to be really good. Patrick Mahomes played one game his rookie year. Aaron Rodgers barely played for 2.5 to 3 years. Same with Jordan Love. So every situation's a little bit different. But all I can say is that the Patriots are, I picked them to cover. I picked them possibly even win the game yesterday, just simply because of the way that they can play and the way that their defense can keep them in games. They're going to bend and bend and bend, and they're going to give up some big plays. But they're a lot of times they're going to keep the opposing team out of the end zone, which is, I think, the recipe that they're trying to invoke right now to win football games.
Speaking of the Jets, which quarterback gets credit for that win yesterday, Aaron Rodgers or Will Levis?
Will Levis, another bonehead play of the year, man. I mean, it's just I don't know what they're going to do with him down there, but his penchant for making mistakes in big spots, especially in the red zone, and throwing the ball backwards. I mean, it's so bizarre. And somehow you got to sit these kids down and you got to tell them you can't do crap like that. So I thought that Aaron Rodgers actually played really well in the second half. This is the second game in a row where we've seen glimpses of the Aaron Rodgers that we saw in Green Bay when he was at the top of his game. So the team is good. They lost one of their best defensive linemen in Jermaine Johnson. It looks like he tore his Achilles yesterday. So that's a big loss for them. They still have the holdout for Hassan Reddick. I doubt he'll be back on a short week playing for the Jets. So the Jets have a myriad of problems, but they are a good team, and Aaron Rodgers looks like he's finally settling in.
Boomer, just about the Patriots, one more from yesterday. Is this the ground floor of the rebuild, even though it's year five after Tom? Like, is this, because the way I've watched this team this year has been better than I expected, but totally bereft of talent. And I see the way in which Jacoby Brissett is managing the game. No highlight reel plays, but it feels like they're just trying to get some space, some ability to build around that offensive line to get the offense going in a certain direction before putting Drake May in. And if that's the start of the rebuild, I guess I understand it.
Yeah, I listen, they had to take Bill Belichick out of the building and, you know, replacing all that he had done for all those years that he was there is not going to be easy. And it is bereft of talent, especially on offense, especially at wide receiver, and especially at offensive line. I mean, they're juggling linemen. Linemen are leaving and taking off and not coming back. I mean, like, it's crazy what's going on up there. And I can imagine that every time they sit down and they start talking about their offensive line, their rookie, what Jacoby Brissett is trying to do, I mean, I'm sure it's so frustrating. But they also realize the reality is they don't want to put a rookie out there and get him hurt, especially if that rookie is just not ready yet. And only they know internally whether or not his communication skills, his huddle command, all of those things that are so important to the offense are ready to take over an offense that's built like this. So, yeah, you're right. It's a frustrating rebuild. There's no question about it. But I got to say, for 2 weeks now, they have been supremely competitive and more competitive than I thought they would be.
Is Brian Daboll still employed this morning?
He's going to be. He'll go through the season. This is going to be a tough one for him this morning. I mean, they did something that nobody's ever done in the NFL, and that is score 3 touchdowns in a game and give up 7 field goals and lose the game. And the kicking situation, everybody down here is like, how do you not have a backup kicker on the field? How do you not? I mean, like, how many teams actually have a backup kicker if the punter can't kick? So I remember back in Cincinnati, we had a punter. His name was Lee Johnson. And we had a kicker, Jim Breach. And if Jim couldn't make a kick, say, from 55 out, Lee Johnson would attempt that kick. So we had a backup kicker, so to speak, just in case something happened to Jim Breach. And that's usually the way it goes in the NFL. The fact that, you know, you have this practice squad elevation situation going on, and the Giants do have a rookie kicker on their practice squad, and they didn't elevate him knowing that there was a problem with Gano's groin going into the game, and then Gano gets hurt on the first kickoff by pulling his hamstring. You just can't make it up. I mean, it's the way the Giants have gone the last 3, 4, 5, 7 years, I think. And I think Brian Daboll is probably on thin ice for sure.
Boom, I think the reality of it is based on the way the Patriots play defense and run the football, and if you look at the landscape of the rest of the NFL, and I know it's only week two and I could be getting ahead of myself, but there isn't a team that really stands out and goes, okay, they're far superior than everybody else. You look at Cincinnati plays Kansas City close. The Patriots obviously beat Kansas City in week one.
Cowboys get blown out.
Cowboys get blown out.
Ravens 0-2.
Ravens lose. I think the reality is that you have a good football team, but your inability at the quarterback position to throw the football could be taking away from your chances to actually making a legitimate run rather than say, okay, this is a rebuild.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Their last three drives of the game yesterday, I think they missed the field goal and then they punted twice. And that, to me, is the highlight of, or the low light of the Patriot offense. Like, the game is right there. You take the lead 20-17. You know, in past years, Tom Brady would, you know, just eat up the clock. They'd end up kicking a field goal or scoring a touchdown late, and they'd win by 10. And yesterday, that just did not happen. I mean, they end up missing a field goal, of course, and then they, you know, then they punt on their last two series. And that's really the crux of the game, coming down to the fourth quarter. There's no turnovers. The game is tight. Which quarterback is going to make the play, or which offensive player is going to make a great catch or make a long run? And that just didn't happen for the Patriots. And Patriot fans for 20 years were used to those situational parts of the game to be, you know, made. All those plays were made. So I you know, it's a very close league. There's no question about it. I would also remind people that the first 4 weeks of the season, the first month of the season, we are still in preseason mode football wise in terms of understanding who everybody is, what these teams are going to look like, and there's going to be a lot of inconsistency along the NFL through the first 4 or 5 games of the season.
The question of the week for Boomer Esiason is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Boomer, reports over the weekend are that Tua wants to return to play, talking to specialists about how quickly he can come back. If you were he, would that be what you were doing?
Yeah, I would. I mean, you know, he's got a lot of money on the table. There's a lot to look at. There's a lot of nuance in the contracts. I know he wants to play. I know that I don't think the Dolphins are going to let him play initially. I think maybe a short-term stint on the IR, maybe 4 weeks. And then he comes back in 5 weeks. That's what I would expect. But I've said this a million times, and maybe Jermaine agrees with me. Even knowing what I know now, if I knew all of what I know now when I was playing back in the 80s and the 90s, would I have done it all over again? And my answer to that is unequivocally yes. I would have played. I loved every moment in the NFL, every concussion that I took, every injury that I sustained were a part of a decision that I had to make to go out there on that field, and I loved it. I love all 14 years, losing, winning, being around the guys, going out on that football field every Sunday was such a high that I don't think anything could ever replace that. So I understand where Tua is coming from. My own personal feeling is that if I could play, I wanted to play. So it's his decision. It's his family's decisions. The real question is, will the NFL allow him back on the field if he is not cleared by an independent neurologist? That's where it would get interesting.
How many is too many, though, Boomer? If you're a player and you have three diagnosed ones in your NFL career and you're that young and you have two little kids and a wife, like, how many is too many concussions to say, wait a minute, I do need to walk away from this?
You know, Cordy, I think every player is different. Every family is different. I would say through high school, college, and pro, I would imagine somewhere between 7 and 10 concussions for me. Everyone was a little bit different. I took a really bad one in 1995, much like Tua, and Bruce Smith hit me under the chin, and I missed 4 games, and I think I was the first player in concussion protocol, believe it or not, back in 1995. Wow. So, and I came back to play 4 weeks later, and oddly enough, it was against the Bills, in which that was the team I took the concussion against. So, look, there are long-term effects. You know, we all live a certain way. We all do things in our life that are dangerous, and we all respect and understand responsibility that comes along with a decision like this, and I'm sure Tua and his wife are talking about it. And again, it's not about always about the money, but this is a significant amount of money that if the league tells him he can't play or an independent urologist says he cannot play, then he'll get his injury guarantee money. If the league clears him and allows him to play and then he decides not to play, then that's where it really gets sticky when it comes down to the guaranteed money, because it's almost like receiving a signing bonus and then retiring in the middle of that signing bonus proration, and then the team claws back the money that they gave you because you did not fulfill your end of the contract. So like that, those are a big part of what he's got to think through and his family's got to think through, and what makes more sense, you know, his total health and well-being or the amount of money that he would be leaving on the table. So I think that's a big part of this whole thing, and I can't even put myself in that situation to make an accurate decision as to whether or not he should be playing.
Well, just last one for me. If you were to put yourself in a position of a new broadcaster who potentially got a phone call from an incredibly talented roster with a quarterback out with a concussion, would you respond with a yes if you were Tom Brady in the Miami Dolphins call?
Wow. I heard that. I heard that immediately after he was hurt. As a matter of fact, it was a meme going out there that had Tom Brady in that Miami uniform. And as a matter of fact, we all know that Stephen Ross tried to hire another Michigan man way back when, about 4 or 5 years ago, and it didn't happen. So that's a really good one. I don't think he would come out of the booth. And by the way, I thought his game yesterday, he was much better than his game previous. So he's already improved significantly. But, you know, that would be an interesting one. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
What about after Saturday? Can we determine that the best Manning family member is still to come to the NFL, Boomer?
Yeah, how about that run, man? That was amazing. Oh. And I was texting with Archie Manning, of all people, who said that he misses me and Phil on Sunday's NFL Today. And I said, you know, Arch, I appreciate it. Great sentiment. I'm playing
golf.
I'm having a great
Boomer.
Time.
That's your, those are your people.
Right. I'm having a, yeah, exactly. And, you know, those people, you know, have lives too there, Greg, and you're not that far behind.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time, by the way. So I see you got another super stud coming up in the family. What a legacy that guy has left.
Unbelievable.
Right? Unbelievable.
Yes.
All right. Well, listen, short week. It's Pats, Jets. We appreciate you taking the time, as always, Boomer.
All righty, guys. I'll talk to you next week. Have a great one.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
It took overtime, but the Pats fell to the Seahawks in the home opener yesterday. 23-20 was the final at Gillette. Jacoby Brissett finished the day completing 15 of 27 passes for 149 yards and a touchdown. We still have Gerard Mayo to talk about that game this morning at 9 a.m. And if you're following along, 2 weeks in, and we have a winner in our Survivor pool. Congrats to Chicken Nick. All of us on the morning show fell yesterday. Wiggy got out in week one, but yep. Week two took the rest of us.
Maybe we should double or nothing. Restart the suicide pool.
Oh, that'd
what
be
do you think?
Fun.
I love it.
All right. Maybe we'll restart it again.
We all get so it just... Start clean week three. Right.
The second chance pool.
Yeah. We'll all do some kind of buyout on Chicken Nick or something like that. Who did Nick have this week, Sean?
He had the Chargers, who won going away.
Yeah. All right.
The big game that knocked most out was the Ravens falling 0-2 on the season with a 26-23 loss to the Raiders at home.
Only the second time in the last 15 years the team that lost the NFL kickoff game lost again in week two.
Wow. Very interesting. The Red Sox fell to the Yankees yesterday 5-2, losing that series 3-1. The guys are off today before taking on the Rays in Tampa Bay tomorrow. Alex Cora talked about where his team is at after a tough series as featured on last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
We're 4.5 games back, and it was a bad series because we lost 3 out of 4. We were in every game. You know, I was just talking to ref. You look at this week. We played Baltimore and the Yankees. We split up, right, or whatever it was. We lost 3 here, 1 at home, and every game was a close one. But that's not enough in this league. You know, you don't get wins by playing tough games. You get W's when you win games, and we didn't do it.
You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store in NissanUSA.com today. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
All right, 60 degrees in Boston. Going to be a gorgeous day. Afternoon high, 81.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.